And welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, of course. www.thematthewaaronshow.com. You can find us on Twitter at Matt Aaron Show, and you can find us on Facebook. You can like us at the Matthew Aaron Show. And I am going to be joined today by a very special guest. I feel like we have a bunch of those lately, though, but everyone knows I've been a huge fan of Everybody Loves Raymond. Really, really, really turned my life around, got me on track to doing what I'm doing. I mean, that's the truth. It sounds funny, but I we'll talk about this because I think it's important.
Got you off drugs.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk about it. Have I told you this story?
Go ahead.
Have I told you it? Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Lee Capreas. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're joined by the great Mike Royce.
I'll just say Mike Royce. But
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you. I don't know if I told you the story last time you were on.
How Everybody Loves Raymond saved your life. I don't remember that.
All right. So it's two shows. It was Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens. And in my early 20s, late teens, I was always performing. Second City. I was doing a lot of things, but I was at a very bad couple habits.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking, drugs, very bad. And I was always just kind of taught that Hollywood's like a pipe dream. And I realized the only thing I was good at was performing, so I kind of always felt like I was fucked.
Right.
And for whatever reason, it was my love for those two shows, and I told myself that's what I want to do. And it got me here. I swear to you, I don't think I'd be here right now, honestly. So I don't know if I've told you that story before, but I do really appreciate all the work you guys have done, and you guys are brilliant comedy writers. And
well, thank you.
They paid us well, too. Men of a Certain Age didn't save my life, but it's a great fucking show.
I think we may have caused some people to kill themselves, to be honest with you.
You had a lot of people. The Save the Men of a Certain Age page, I mean,
you
had like hundreds.
It's still going.
Like
50,000
likes in like a week, and like it was going strong, and people were like really depressed.
Yeah, it was. We unfortunately didn't have enough people watching to keep it on, but we did. The people who watched it felt very deeply about it, and there was sort of a core group of fans. Some of whom I even got in touch with because they were doing so much work, and I just want to thank them. And you know, there were people who still send me messages on Facebook or whatever. They still miss the show. You know, there's a guy in Buffalo named Leo. Are you listening, Leo? Who every once in a while I just get a message like, I watched this for the 40th time. You know,
oh man,
still miss the show. Can't believe they canceled it. You know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaker for me. Because that was a show that I was really, really hardcore trying to rally for support. And by the way, I do want two birthdays. Chuck Salvatore, who's always on the show with his dirty stories. Chuck, happy birthday, buddy. You're one of my best friends. I love you. And another one of my best friends, his son, Bruce Fretz, his son Jed,
mm-hmm.
turned 16 today, and Bruce wanted me to say hello to you, or else he'd be on. He has to do his 16th, his son's birthday today.
Jed.
I told Jed, drive your dad's car real fast
before
you get your own and you have to take care of it. And so happy birthday to Jed, and who I think's just about old enough to listen to our filthy show sometimes.
Right.
but... Speaking of Bruce Fretz, and I'm glad this reminded me to do the birthdays. I almost forgot. But Bruce and I, we were trying really hard, and Bruce has way more power than I do. But, like, I told you this when you were on. I was going, like, to my friends' houses and, like, forcing them to watch the show and hoping it wouldn't be torture. And they would love it. And I remember one day I was, like, giving Lee, like, a 20-minute lecture outside my house of why he needs to watch the show.
And I did.
And he probably thought some of it was hyperbole because I'm like, oh, it's Cassavetes-esque.
Right.
You know, he's like,
He was draining the vocabulary of superlatives.
and it was just a show that you don't get to see often, and that was, I think it was amazing. I really do.
Well, thanks. Thank you. It I miss it.
And I think it changed the careers for a lot of people, too. I think Scott Bakula will never be looked at as the Quantum Leap guy again.
Right.
I think he'll be able to do other things now.
Right. Well, all three of them.
Yeah, Andre's great.
I think all three of them were able to change people's minds about the kinds of things that they can
do.
You know, Scott had done it. Scott's very, he has a resume that's, he has a lot of different stuff on it, but I think that he did some pretty intense, dramatic stuff on our show that people didn't expect out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
Andre's the opposite. Andre's done all this intense, dramatic stuff, and people found he could be light and funny, and at the same time, of course, he brings the gravitas.
To this day, that softball episode is just
great.
One of my favorite of television ever.
Yeah.
And Andre Brower's so great.
So good in it.
The whole episode's great because you got Bakula's crazy girlfriend.
Right.
Like, all the storylines just came together at the right time. And, like, is that luck? Is that something you plan out far in advance where you got all those arcs you just luckily can end them all at the same time like that or hit the climax at the same time? How do you prepare for that?
Well, it's an interesting process because sometimes it comes together in ways, better ways than others, but you have to, like, we plan out the whole season, you know. Basically, we want this kind of stuff to be happening around episode one, this kind of stuff to be percolating around episode five, this kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And we're headed towards the end in episode 12, so you figure out the general stuff. And then within each episode, you start to put, okay, well, this has to happen here, so this will be happening with this storyline, and these things are meshing together. So how do these things thematically work together? And how do we, you know, suddenly you're like, okay, I guess people are all going to the softball game.
Yeah.
You know, because certain things have to happen together. But the two writers, Tucker Cawley and Itamar Moses, they did, you know, they're the ones who have to do the heavy. We all help plan out the story, all the writers together, but they do the heavy lifting of really making it, you know, writing the outline and making everything work out, and they just did a tremendous job.
And I do want to give Tucker props. I mean, ever since he joined Up All Night, the show's really taken off.
Oh, good.
And I don't know if that's in direct correlation, Tucker joining on, but it's gotten so much better. It's really good now.
He's one of the best writers I know and that I've ever met. And I mean, he just is extremely, extremely skillful.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. He's really good. We got a question from somebody about Men of a Certain Age. They didn't leave a name or else I'd respond. John, okay. Hi, Matthew. Thanks for having Mike Royce on the show. You're welcome. I worked very hard for this. A lot of bothering Mike for a long time. I have a question for him. Mike, I was one of the many fans of Men of a Certain Age who were truly heartbroken, more heartbreak, by its cancellation and worked hard to save the series. I've recently read that Men of a Certain Age is now a hit in a number of foreign countries.
That's true.
How can the show be popular internationally and still not get a third season? Have you ever considered asking 1 million fans to cough up $25 each to finance a third season? All right. Well, I'm not going to get into that.
No, let me just do this. Yeah. I would like 1 million fans to cough up $25. Let me just make that a formal. Somebody get that organized on Kickstarter.
Kickstarter.
Someone starting. I see a
billfold
coming
out. After we defeat this Coney.
Yeah. It might have to be more than that, to be perfectly frank. Some of these other fellas are now locked up in other projects, and myself included.
Yeah.
But
and
that would be nice.
And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, too, is you got this new pilot at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that you're willing to come in here during the pilot process, because everyone's very jinxy. And, I talk to Peter Tolan all the time, and I'm afraid he thinks he's going to jinx everything. And we're supposed to have Bill Lawrence on soon, but Bill's been reshooting, and he's at Fox, too.
Uh-huh.
Talk to me about the process you went through between Men of a Certain Age's demise and to your pilot at Fox.
You mean besides the crying?
Yes, besides
it's 90%
lots of
crying. it's been a very interesting ride for me because I've been extremely fortunate to work on stuff. I jumped aboard Everybody Loves Raymond in the fourth year. It was already a hit.
Yeah.
Then I was in cable for a number of years where there's not as many people involved in the making, just at the network and, you know, studio level. For TNT, we had a sort of minimum amount of people because they were both the network and the studio. So to be honest, this is my first time really developing a network show where you go through all the levels of you know, approval and just that whole process. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
Even though I've been in, you know, now in this business for quite a long time. So it takes some getting used to, and it's just a matter of, you know, sort of realizing that every step is, you know, there's vetting that needs to take place. There's a lot of people that have to weigh in. And some of those people are very smart. Almost all of them are very smart.
You were playing this very smart.
No.
Because most people come on here and just tell me studio people are retarded.
It's simply not true.
Very good.
There's a different thing that needs to happen for network television. You need to be able to market the thing. It needs to be appeal to some sort of broad audience. And there's just a lot of factors that you as the writer need to be reminded of and deal with. And then within that, you need to make an entertaining show that's intelligent and smart. And, you know, there's a lot of great shows out. I mean, Modern Family just hits everything, all the numbers. You know
right.
what I mean? It's very popular. It's very smartly written.
So you talk about vetting and everything. For instance, and I mean, you don't have to use specific examples. You can make something up here. But for our listeners, give us an idea of what these decisions are that everyone kind of has a little bit of a say in.
Well, I don't want to overstate it because certainly in cable,
sure,
those people, you don't just go off and do everything by yourself. You know,
yeah.
Everybody
like
that.
Louis, who you've worked
Louis,
with.
What Louis is doing now is
Louis
fairly
unprecedented.
Louis
literally does everything.
Yes. And they still, even then, I mean, they know what he's going to, they see the show, they know what he's doing. But yes, he has an unprecedented, you know, which is obviously turning out fantastically because that show is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, casting, right away, casting, there's lots and lots of people, there's lots and lots of there's lots of opinions, there's lots of needs that they're trying to meet that, you know, affect what you've written in a way that is less than just, okay, I wrote this character, let me go out and get some actor that I like, and that's the end of it. It just, you know, it's not gonna work that way. So you have to reach some kind of consensus.
Yeah.
And I've been very fortunate because we have a fantastic cast. You know, I don't know if it always works out that way.
Right. Well,
it worked out that way for me.
From following pilot seasons, I kind of felt as if, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it leads to my question of how this came about. Then the show now obviously stars John Stamos, who everybody loves. I don't know who doesn't love John Stamos.
He's hard not to love.
He's a likable guy.
Very beautiful.
Even the dorky shit he does is likable. Even his Beach Boy loving ass is likable. But no, seriously, I love John. But it felt like John came kind of late in the whole process.
Yes.
So was John then your first choice all along, and then you had to wait on him? Was John someone that you just went to because you thought, like, how did the John process come up?
The whole thing behind it is the more time you have, the more time everybody spends sort of thinking about people before you even make a move. And then you find suddenly it's December and you haven't made a move. That's really the basic, you know, we took a long time finding one of the parts, and then I think we got started a little later. Because John, when he got the script, he was like, why didn't you call me like 3 months ago? Like,
right.
What happened? You know, and we just didn't, we were focused on one part, and it was the luxury of time, where like we should have been doing two things at once, and we got caught up thinking about one thing, and you know, fortunately, he knows TJ Miller, who stars in the show with him, and he read the script and he just really liked it. And there's my producer calling out. Pardon me. it was just a very sort of fortunate thing that somehow he got it in the middle of the process where we were sort of casting about, like not really knowing what we were doing.
Yeah.
And he saved us. What can I say?
So who are like the heroes of this show right now that you've put together? Who's really helped this thing just like launch? for you,
the pilot. The thing about this pilot is it started, another guy wrote the original pilot named Fenton Ryan, a guy from he's an English guy. It started over there. Marty Adelstein,
who's one of the producers.
One of the producers has been shepherding this thing for like 3 years.
I saw his office at Fox when I was there a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Marty, he's doing that little brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, they brought me in because it had kind of gone as far as it was going to go with the original writer, and they wanted to do a big overhaul. And so that was, you know, but initially when I took the job, I thought that might be like just a rewrite thing that I do.
Yeah.
In between seasons of Men of a Certain Age. I mean, there was that
right.
possibility at the time.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Did you end up getting that, did you get a three-show deal with Fox?
I have
a first look deal. How'd that work?
Did
you get that after Men of a Certain Age,
yeah.
though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have just an overall deal where
okay.
you know, they pay me to do things for them for 20th.
Very nice.
And that's crazy.
When
you get something going through an international market, you hear that it's getting popular in foreign countries.
Yeah.
I think that that's something now that I think TV needs to consider now is shows having, abroad, having appeal abroad.
I agree.
That was not unconsiderable because they do it for movies, but a movie is a one-off. A TV show is like a commitment.
Right.
You know, but
and they don't always get released at the same time, obviously.
Right.
And yeah, it's harder to make that risky call.
Yeah.
I did want to bring up. I do want to get back to Men of a Certain Age. I had a few questions, but the other thing about Little Brother I wanted to know is what's the tone of the show going to be?
Much different than Men of a Certain Age.
So
it's just a much it's.
So this is totally a departure for you.
Well, it's a departure from Men of a Certain Age. It's
but what about Raymond? Is it a departure from Raymond too?
It's different because it's single camera. You know, I guess kind of everything I've done has been a fairly different, actually.
Yeah,
from, you
that's,
know,
that's how I feel. Yeah,
Lucky Louie was quite a bit different
yep.
than Raymond, even though there was something you know, and Men of a Certain Age was completely different than that. This is another turn, and this is you know much more. A comedy. It's a full-on comedy, you know.
Yeah.
We always consider Men of a Certain Age a drama with some humor in it,
yeah.
but we always considered it a drama. So this, you know, it's the characters are broader. It doesn't mean it's crazy broad,
okay.
way over the top, but it is, you know, it's not nearly as naturalistic as Men of a Certain Age. It exists more in a comedy space.
Mm-hmm.
I think our goal was to keep it to have some heart. It definitely has heart in it.
Yeah.
While at the same time, obviously, we're trying to do the job of making people laugh. And that's something at least that I have experience with that I think I do a good job with is making sure that the story that I'm hopefully telling a good story. I think I've learned some good lessons along the way there that we care about the characters because you're not just putting a sketch on.
Yeah.
You know? And I think for this show, it's a particular challenge because the characters, especially a couple of them, especially started, they're very big and they're funny.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a challenge that I think we're hopefully meeting that to keep them in the world where you're not just going, well, they're just insane. You know? It's a balancing act that, you know, you can go from a very... I like all types of comedies. There's comedies where you really don't give a shit about the characters,
yeah.
but you just laugh your ass off
like
anyway.
Like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's sketchy stuff out there that I just really... This may sound like I'm insulting them, but I'm not because it's one of my favorite shows. Is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know?
Terrible human beings.
Yeah, they're terrible human beings. But,
right.
And it's just insane.
Right.
I mean, it's... hilarious. I can't
right.
stop watching.
Or South Park, even. South Park.
Right.
There's not anyone nice on that show.
Right. 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 There's no sentiment in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No.
Right.
I mean, you have
There's
to
no
really
heart.
Mind
There's
that.
No moment of bullshit at the end where we, you know, we've
right.
all learned something. And
That's right.
right.
Now, I go for the bullshit. That.
Well,
no. I mean, you know, but it hopefully it's not bullshit, but that is the... that's the balancing act. You try to make something.
Well, you
know
right.
I
was going to ask you that though, because Raymond did a great job. Everybody loves Ray, That did a great job of, yes, we're going to tell you something at the end where the characters may have learned something, and not all the time, but sometimes you did. But you did it. You kept it funny.
Well,
you kept it funny. Even when Marie and Patricia Heaton, when Doris and Patricia Heaton, when they weren't talking over that, like, three-episode span, they were feuding.
Sure.
Like, it was funny. It was Doris Roberts opening the blinds back and forth in the kitchen and eavesdropping. And you guys kept it funny. Now, is that something you set out to do when you do have to tell a story that has an ending that may be considered in some cases schmaltzy?
It's, you know what it is? It's really more a matter of when you're constructing the story in the first place, if you're finding a relatable theme, it's relatable because somewhere in there is some issue or not, I don't want to say issue because it sounds like after school special, but just some emotion or something that's happening that the story is springing from and that makes you give a shit about what's happening. So that somebody feels a certain way about what's happening. It all leads to a moment. You're not literally going, we have to get to some moment where everyone goes, aw.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's usually cheesy. But you do have to have this underpinning of stuff that people actually care about.
Yeah.
You know? So even in this pilot, one of the characters has spent most of his life in prison.
Yeah.
And his whole socialization has come from prison. So he comes out. It comes out in, you know, a lot of inappropriate ways that can be, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to. So you won't care about that character if there's not also something that's driving him.
Right.
And some, you know, real person characteristics that are built into him. Because it can be just a series of prison jokes.
Right,
right.
That's very easy to do.
I'm all about prison.
Never ending, yes.
Yeah. Those Oz jokes have longevity.
Yeah.
I still make some good anal rape jokes.
Are there really any other?
Do. No. Yeah. Are there any other? That's another question for another time. all right. So since we can't give people of men of a certain age the fan base good news, let's see
There's a tiny bit of good news, I think.
What's the tiny bit that you got?
I already got to people. So, no, I think the second season DVD, I believe, is
That is good news.
But
I don't want to jinx it.
I think
looks like
this
it's
would
all
make
set.
Them feel really good.
Yeah.
Can you give me at least, even if you didn't, like, finalize ideas, can you give me ideas of, like, for instance, where Terry and Aaron's relationship was going?
Right. Right.
Where Joe's relationships were heading, what was going on, what was going to happen with the dealership, Andre Brower, Richard Gant.
Yeah.
Is that stuff you can give to the fans and put them at ease a little? Even if you got to BS it?
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
First of all, I think I really shouldn't do this without Ray.
Oh.
Because that would be, I'd be speaking for him, because we certainly have figured out.
Well, Ray won't do my show, so that won't happen. I've called his publicist 4,000 times.
Well, he's a tough man to get a hold of.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be seeing him Sunday. You hear that? Listen, Romano, I'm paying $100 to stalk you down Sunday. I'm not worth $100. So here's the deal, Romano. I'm coming for you, and you're doing my friggin' show. I've had it.
He responds to threats. Okay. I'll tell you that. That's his weakness.
I'm sorry, was that threat?
That's his weakness.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean... Was that a threat? I don't know. All I said...
Well...
Here's what I can't really...
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to reveal because
sure.
there's nothing that's in concrete that obviously we never made any more shows. We tried to put a ending movie together that we did come up with a story and it didn't work out. That's one of those things that 1% of my brain is always like, God, I hope that would be so great if we could do that someday. I want to get people's hopes up because there's really kind of no way that's ever going to happen.
Even if you do it on an indie budget?
Definitely if we do it on an indie budget.
Yeah, I mean, do it for the love of the game, right?
You know, you got to love the game. Scheduling comes into play. People just start doing. I mean, look at Arrested Development. Everybody wanted to do it for, you know, 7 years.
Yeah.
It took that long or however long it took. And the Deadwood movies and all these things that are supposed
to
happen.
I'm sure there's a lot of politics behind all that, though, too.
You know, I don't think it's politics.
With the development movie, the Arrested Development movie, it felt like there was some politics.
I don't. First of all, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it really, these are all. all those actors went on to do a million other
things.
But
now they're doing two more seasons out of Arrested Development. They're talking about doing two more or three more seasons.
Well, they figured out a way that they could shoot it, I think, like a movie.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the schedule's like a movie. I mean, it had to be under very rarefied and special circumstances.
Yeah. I actually think, though, I mean, because I think you may be biased because you live in that world. You live in the Men of a Certain Age bubble, obviously.
Yes, sure.
As an unbiased person to the situation, I think if you did this movie on the cheap, like 10, 15 mil, I think it would be a really good indie movie. I think it would be received really well. I think it would be received really well.
Yes.
And I think you'd be doing something that doesn't really ever happen.
No.
And I think that's important.
But see, people are always saying when these shows go, you know, before their time or something like that, just one more thing so I know what happens for the hardcore fans. And it's not something that they probably think studios like, well, you know, if the show wasn't doing numbers, then why are we going to keep...
studios, though. If you make a really good indie, Sony Pictures Classic comes along.
Yeah.
Come on, the show is great. You know, someone like that would love it. Fine Line. Someone would love it and put it out in a limited release. It gets some video on demand.
Especially for men of a certain age. I mean, you could make... And you can go into that not having seen the show, and you would...
You may not get rich off it, but it's also not just about the fans.
Yeah.
It's about the fact that you could make a great movie.
Right.
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 No,
I don't know. This is just my opinion.
Something
no,
people want to see that would stand on its own.
The whole movie, getting rich off it would not be a concern of Ray or myself.
Yeah.
We would do it for nothing, you know. Don't let that undercut my negotiating power when somebody's interested.
Uh-huh.
But no, seriously,
we'll
would do it just to do it. But there's just so many things to get together, you know. I mean, this is just a tiny, you know. One thing is, a lot of that show was, you know, we built sets. There were sets.
Sure.
They sell that stuff the moment you are canceled. They you know, liquidate.
But for a movie, I don't think it would matter. You can build some new sets if they're similar. I think people would forgive you.
This is all money. This is all money.
Forgive you. That's true.
Yeah. All I'm saying, I'm not saying it can't be done, but these are the logistics that. It's if only it were so simple as like, hey, let's just go down to the thing and we'll take a month and we'll shoot it, you know.
Sure.
But hey, listen, it would be fantastic.
Sure, I totally understand. I mean, I get it. But you know, my point of it just is, it's an opportunity to do something really spectacular, not just as the show, not just as for the fans, but for yourself, for Ray. I mean, I think it would just be great. I don't think anyone's ever pulled that off. Like, ever.
Well, I mean,
it's not easy.
It's not.
That's the reason.
That's why I want to say, I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
Yes. I want to be very clear that this is not going to happen.
Yeah. You're breaking my heart here, Royce.
I, you know, when I say 1% of my brain, I don't have the heart
to say zero.
To say zero. That's right.
All right. I busted your balls about that. All right. Well, I tell you what, though. If you ever give up the details of what that movie would be like, can you give them up to me?
Sure.
All right.
Tell
Romano he could Skype in, okay? I won't even look at him.
It would be very... I think it would be very unsatisfying to have, even if Ray were involved, to have the two of us sit down and go, and then Terry does this, and then Aaron says this, and then... Like telling a bedtime story.
Yeah, but I think if you gave a plot, I think people would be like, oh that
man.
Sounds like that'd be nice.
This interview is by Matt for Matt.
Yeah. Look, it's called the Matthew Aaron Show. Narcissism Central, all right?
Yeah.
I only give a shit about what I give a shit about.
I'm just afraid that I appreciate it because you give a shit about me.
Lucky
right
you.
Now,
right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a very loyal guy. I've sat through all of Sandler's latest movies, okay? I'm a loyal guy. Once I like you, Mike, it's hard to shake me. So
you have
to do some real crap to get me on your bad side. I am an apologist like you wouldn't believe.
Well, I'm just afraid if I ever were to tell the story of that, you know, whatever, the ending or whatever, that it would instantly be put on YouTube with that Asian animation thing that they do, or you know,
or Lego characters, Legos.
That's how people. That would be our legacy. Is that you'd see it in Legos.
Oh, I bet Ray's Lego would have sweet hair.
He's got good hair.
That would be an attachment that you put on the.
I'm so jealous of his hair
on the circle
he's
part.
He's got very good hair. I'm also jealous.
Yeah, I'm gonna look like you very soon. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'll be the fat version of Mike Royce.
I think I got you beat schedule wise. I don't know how old you are, but
28. So I'm getting there.
I was already.
Oh, you were already there.
Let's see. So yeah, because I got married when I was 29, and by 30.
If
it was
I take out these extensions, though, you may change your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Oh, and by the way, I do want to plug this event again Sunday, since we're talking about
yes,
Ray.
Public
and,
Citizen.
Okay, Public Citizen. Once again, citizen.org. We had on Steve Scroven yesterday. Steve, of course, is putting together the event. What a great guest he was. Outstanding. If you haven't listened to that episode, go to iTunes or to our website, www.thematthewaronshow.com. Click listen. You'll really enjoy it. It's funny. It's really funny.
He's funny, man.
He's funny.
Yeah.
I'm hilarious. I mean, it just all worked out. We's all right.
Yeah.
We've done some jokes.
Okay.
But in all honesty, go to citizen.org. Stand Up for Main Street. We're talking Ray Romano, Mark Maron, Wendy Liebman,
Morgan
Eric
Murphy,
Rivera, Morgan Murphy, Rick Overton.
These are all hilarious people.
Dana Gould.
Dana
I think
Gould.
I nailed
oh
them all.
God.
I nailed them all.
Yes.
If you're lucky, maybe you see Mike Royce there. You see some Scott Franks action, maybe, if you get lucky. I got my whole stalker list planned.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I do. And here's the thing.
Some Scott Franks action.
If I feel like they're not feeling it when I tell them to come do the show, I have tranquilizer darts. I'm going to shoot them, put them in my trunk, and they're going to be doing the show for my house. You hear that? You hear that, Romano?
So,
I'm just playing. I'm just playing. No, I'm not.
I can vouch
okay.
that there's a look in his eye that is
I know.
Scary.
You got that play Misty for me look. Like, I don't know what's...
Clute.
Yeah,
I'm Clute. Roy Scheider and Clute,
okay?
Okay? No, but seriously, this event is it's from 6:30 to 8:30 on Sunday. It's at the Writers Guild Theater.
Yeah, it's a great place to see these. I mean, the amazing thing is this is just an amazing show regardless.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you're somehow vehemently against Public Citizen, which is hard to imagine, then I guess don't go, but it's... It's just that it's honestly to have all these people on the same bit. It's like all different kinds of comedians, and they're all like kind of at the top of their game. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, really amazing people and just hilarious. And
the Lehman Brothers may not be there.
All right.
Yeah. Scott Walker may not be there.
No.
But I think if you like comedy, this is an all-star bill.
It really is.
It's really, really a good show.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely one worth checking out. I really like this cause. I really like Public Citizen.
Yeah.
I told you, I just want to give money to the thing, and I don't have money.
Yeah.
And I don't have money to give.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I mean, it's a great cause. It's at the Writers Guild Theater. Which is on, I don't know, like 135 Doheny. Don't trust me on that.
That's right. I believe that's correct. Well, 135 Doheny.
Oh, I am good.
Yeah. That's excellent memory.
Okay. I hope that arm doesn't go cramped from all the padding of the back of yourself that you're doing.
And let's be clear. You are not giving money to Ray Romano.
No, you're giving
it
to...
He does not need it.
You're giving it to the public citizen.
He is doing this... For as a benefit, you are giving money to a fine organization that helps.
I did tease yesterday. Ray gets 99 of the $100 of each ticket. I was just kidding. He gets 97.
94. Right. Yeah.
I was just kidding. Boy, no wonder Ray won't do the show.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone gives him such a hard time.
I mean, Ray's he's a nice guy. He's a good
man. What? I want to have this talk with Mike though. I get a sense though. It's like. I don't know. I just get a sense like people hate me. I really do. Do you think that's true?
Is this... Well, let's be specific.
Yeah.
When you say sense, are people coming up to you and saying, I hate you? Because that's a clue.
No, that might be.
No, but here's the thing. Like, okay, so I'll tell the listeners a story. Like, for instance, I'm like, all right, I've been wanting to get you on ever since, the last time we had you on. Because you were fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I love talking to you. And it was a really good time. And then we just had a scheduling snafu here and there. And then you started your pilot. Didn't want to bother you during the pilot.
I've been crying and shooting.
I would check in with you here and there, but I wouldn't be asking you to do the show. I just check in to make sure you're doing well.
It's
and
been
the pilot's doing well. But, I just get this sense, I'm like, am I bothering Mike Royce too much? Am I bothering Sam Simon too much? Maybe they're just nice guys.
I can't speak for Sam Simon.
Yeah, maybe they're just nice
guys.
He
has told me he hates you.
Yeah.
And I don't even know him. He just out of the blue was like, listen, this fucking guy.
Right.
I absolutely believe it. He probably is going to send a dog to my house with a rolled up message. And I'm going to take the message out and it's going to say, I hate you.
Now, please bring the dog back to this address.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you Ray does not hate you because Ray does not have the internet.
I got to say.
He doesn't have the, for real.
He's
got to have the internet.
Fairly internet, unsavvy. He certainly has, you know,
email.
You
don't always
stuff,
make
but.
People feel that good. You're no Leo Buscaglia.
Well,
okay?
You know what? People,
you're no Deepak Chopra.
People need to have a little fun. They need to lighten up. Bust some balls.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. whatever.
That's all right.
Well, I'm going nowhere
I like
in life.
Right.
I'm going absolutely nowhere.
I like it.
So, Mike, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay. For because you did the move out here and you're successful now. So now I'm going to ask you even more selfish questions.
Yes.
Okay. For guys like Lee, myself, young people who moved out here, they're doing the thing. They're doing the networking they always tell you to do.
I'm always bad at this. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Because it's different for everybody. That's the thing. You know, everyone's bad at this.
Yes.
Right.
So obviously, we don't have any go-to, you know, like perfect advice. There's no road to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what for you is the key to getting work? Not becoming a star. Not, you know, becoming famous. Getting work.
Here's what I know. I don't know. And the reason I say that is because when I was your age, young man, I wasn't anywhere near this place. I was in New York. I was barely getting any work doing stand-up comedy. There was an active movement against me to try and stop me from doing stand-up comedy. That's how unfunny I was. It was seriously, I did not. I mean, I think when I was your age, I was just getting work doing that. With no making a few hundred dollars a week at most. And I had the same question. I was trying to get auditions doing commercials. I had hair then. I'm not going to say it was luxurious, but, you know, it could have been made TV ready.
Yeah.
I wasn't the cutest guy going around, but I wasn't the ugliest either.
Yeah. Right.
I could have been on screen.
Yeah.
You know, I had all these same questions, you know, that you have. And the plan just unfurled, you know, there was no grand plan. You have much more of a grand plan than I ever. You have equipment, first of all.
Well, all right.
You're already a step ahead.
It's Fisher Price. But
all right.
Right. All right. It says Hot Wheels underneath this thing here.
I actually made this out of Play-Doh.
Yeah. Toothpicks and spit.
It's very nice. The truth is, I admire anybody who comes here. I came here with a job. I think it's really hard to come here without a job.
Yeah.
And I just mean, like, you know, come here without, like,
like,
oh,
I'm doing.
Good.
Thanks,
yes.
Mike. Continue.
That's correct.
Yeah. Make me feel good.
It's hard to come here and make it. It's just, it's hard to go anywhere and make it.
Sure.
You know, New York, but New York is, like, here. I'm making a low sign with my hand. And L.A. is way above that is the sign I'm making. It's a labyrinth. I can't even imagine doing, I mean, the only thing I even had a clue about was doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Forget auditions. I wouldn't, you know how to even start, you know.
Yeah. What about PA jobs?
That's there's many things that are certainly connection-based.
Yeah.
You know? And those get you in the door, then after that, it's all up to,
did
you
know, feel like your connection got you in the door and then you just worked your ass off?
Well, I had a connection, but for me, I just want to stress this. I'm going to get very close to the microphone. I was 35.
Yeah.
So that's why I have very little sympathy for you.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Well, you moved out here and you had already.
He's honest.
I mean, you had already been married. So you there
married.
Was nothing to consider.
First of all, Steve Scroven's been messaging me during this year.
Yeah.
First of all, he says don't listen to you. You're
right.
Funny. So that's true.
Yeah.
And he would like us to talk about your 80s mullet.
That's true.
I
when I had hair, this is why it's not a tragedy that I'm bald. When I had hair, it was terrible hair.
Oh.
And nobody was going, oh, my God, your luxurious locks. I can't believe they went away. It was I wish I had a. I don't have a picture, but yeah, it was not a great hair adventure for me from birth till now.
Yeah. Well, I can kind of.
You're getting messages about that from the Scrove?
Yeah.
About the mullet?
Yeah,
the 80s
mullet. Ones? He's going to the mullet.
Scrove, and listen, I have no hair. He's got no hip. You know. Are you listening, Steve? He's older than me, is the message.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny.
So, okay, so now that you have no sympathy for me.
All I mean is.
And Mike Royce continues to crush my hopes.
But he has empathy. He has empathy.
But the thing for me is, here's why I don't know any good plan. Because the plan is you're doing what you're good at, and that will always lead to something. I think.
I hope.
I graduated film school,
yeah.
And then I immediately moved to New
what
York.
What a waste of
like,
time.
Yes, like an idiot. Like an idiot, I moved to New York because I thought I would work in television there, and then I realized, oh, they don't make any shows here. You know,
what's your feeling on film school, honestly? Since you
no,
went,
I had a great time in film school.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't go. Okay, I did film school like as a part time like mm-hmm. thing. As a digital technology major, it was one of our requirements we
yes.
could do, like to fill up our whole schedule.
Right.
So I did do a lot of film stuff. I learned some things. But then there's just some things you can't learn without experiencing it yourself.
No, right. That's absolutely true. If you have a way to get experience, you should do that no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
But you mean you didn't expect they would get you a job, like, right? No, and but I'm not saying that in a derogatory way.
Did
like,
I so, expect
well,
to
no,
get a
like
job?
Well, no,
but
like some schools you go because you love learning or partying.
My honest answer, I don't know what Mike's is. I went to school with no idea of getting job. I went to school to waste time and to please my parents.
Okay.
I swear to God, and I went for an education. Like, part of me does like being educated, but I also self-educate myself a lot, so mm-hmm. I didn't think it was, like, that important. But, yeah, I went to waste time, do drugs, drink,
okay.
and please my parents.
Well, that was certainly a lot of what ended up happening.
Yeah.
That's reason enough to do just about anything.
And Steve would like a correction. He has a titanium hip, Mike.
Sorry.
So not no hip. There's something there, pal. It's a bunch of SpaghettiO cans
yes.
molded together
right.
as a hip.
That's yes. Titanium. That sounds awfully grandiose, doesn't it?
Yeah. He makes himself sound like the $6 million man.
Yeah.
Right. He's the Terminator.
Yeah. You can't
the
run Scrovenator. Any fucking faster. Come on.
Yeah.
If only they made titanium hair.
I would watch a Terminator movie with
Steve Scroven as the Terminator.
As a
wow,
I would. Wow. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
So that makes two of us.
That makes
me
one
and
of you.
Steve.
Can I have
well,
your?
Well, Steve yeah. would watch it.
Can
I'm
I
sure.
have your clothes and your boots and your motorcycle, please?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Well, do they make Terminator movies for the Hallmark Channel?
Yeah, right.
Is the AARP funding
right.
a Terminator movie?
Right.
With
Dr. Channing.
Oh, that's great.
It's all I got, the old stuff. And I'm headed into that area myself.
No. You were one of the younger guys on Raymond, though, weren't you?
I still am.
Right, because
you know, they
Jeremy
all,
Stevens is like
100 years old. That's
yeah, right. So
he's in Russia right now laughing at everybody.
I heard about wait, what? Yeah. He goes, Matt, you got to have me on soon because I'm going to Russia. I'm like, I'll have you on when you get back. He goes, I don't know when I'll be back.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He's going to Russia?
He is the most elaborate spy program that the United States has ever put together, that he would go over there and run the Everybody Loves Raymond Russian version and collect intelligence.
Oh, and Steve would like us to know he can beat all of us in a foot race, which the way I smoke...
You smoke. I have asthma.
Yeah, you have asthma.
I mean,
you're done.
Yeah,
you don't even start.
No,
is that's a term from like the 40s though, right? A foot race.
Yeah, what is that? That's
maybe we can get a great knee high afterwards.
Yeah, right. I challenge you to a foot race and then a phosphate afterwards.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So what else you got going on? You just got the pilot and then this event Sunday at the Writers Guild Theater for
things.
Public Citizen.
Yes. Yeah, in probably 3 weeks we'll know. I think the Fox up front is May 14th.
Man, that's exciting.
So I got to find out if I have a show. If I don't have a show, they'll assign me to a show, maybe, possibly. I'll also try to develop other stuff. I had another pilot that I wrote that so far hasn't. I'm hoping to get that made as well. Yeah. We'll sort of put that on the back burner for now.
Nerve wracking for you, exciting for me.
That's what you're saying.
This pilot season for you.
Yes.
Because
it's very nerve wracking.
I get to sit going, oh, I hope Mike gets a show. That'd be great for him.
I appreciate it.
I love you. You're great. But you got to be sitting there going, oh, fuck, I better get this show.
Yeah. It's you know, the nerve-wracking thing is that you put your heart and soul into it for however many months, and the odds are you're not going to get on. You know ahead of time it could be the greatest pilot of all time, and still 30% of the pilots are getting on, or 10% of them, or 20%. So you know ahead of time it's going to be disappointing. It's a surprise if it's not disappointing.
How is it to be up against contemporaries you consider friends? I'm sure you consider Bill Lawrence
a friend. I looked at the list of the Fox pilots today, and I'm like, well, God damn it.
They're like all your buddies.
Not everyone. I don't know them all, but I know who they are. You know?
Do you know Bill Lawrence?
Of course. Yeah,
you guys have to know, yeah.
No, he gave me my big break in show business, Bill Lawrence. He hired me. Yes, he was. I was the warm-up comic for Spin City, and he was...
That's right. You told us that. Yeah.
So he hired me to do my first script. I mean, I was on an MTV show before that.
So if you get your show and Bill doesn't get his... Is there going to be any salty wounds over that?
Not on my part.
Well, of course, you got your show.
He's got his own shit to worry about. But I will be dancing on his grave. No, I doubt Bill Lawrence
always. See, I can't make tranquilizer dart jokes, but he can dance on Bill Lawrence's grave, and it's fine and dandy. You see what age and experience gives you? The ability to make jokes.
Tell you, he would do the same for me.
I don't know. Maybe it's because people might reasonably believe that you could do something with a tranquilizer dart. I was like, I know Mike. He would never dance on anyone's grave.
That's right. No, I find it hard to believe that Bill Lawrence has put together a show that will not get on the air. That doesn't seem to happen. That's why I'm so scared.
Yeah, that's true. I got another question for you. Men of a certain age, this is from No Name. And you know what? If you have a name, it's a good thing you didn't tell me. Oh, it is a name? Frank?
I feel like there's going to be some profanity.
Frank,
coming.
I'm going to warn you ahead of time. You're out of your mind. But okay, you know what, though? I like it, Frank. You're a Looney Tune. Mike, let's say men of a certain age, legions of loyal fans, could find a way to get up to $30 million to finance the third season of the show. If you could get the financing, didn't we just do a financing question?
We just did a financing remark.
$30 million, please call TNT, Turner North Productions.
Frank, you know you're going to get a full season for 30. You can get that season.
You will get the conversation started with 30 million.
Yeah, you get it started, right.
Or maybe put it towards education.
If you go on Kickstarter and get $30 million together, I will make sure you get a tote bag
well. Frank,
you get a swell tote bag.
No, and Frank, I like you. You're out of your mind and I'm out of my mind, so I dig it. But here's the thing, Frank. Do me a favor. Instead of saying $30 million to Mike Royce, which will just be frivolous, Send $30 to Public Citizen. Go to citizen.org and send $30 there. Well, true, though. Yeah. $30 million ain't going to happen. Let's just this pipe dream.
By the way, Frank, I appreciate your sentiment. I feel exactly the same way you do in terms of desperately wanting the show to come back. I just want to make that clear.
I mean, unless Frank has the $30 million, then I'm an idiot. Then I'm going to be blackballed from the industry. Yes. And I apologize, Frank. If you want to send that $30 million over, I'll even control the account. It's fine.
Is it Frank Marshall?
I'll make sure Ray gets paid. Frank Marshall, right.
Yeah.
But, I think we're at the point where we have to say you may not get the money to do Men of a Certain Age, but they loved Men of a Certain Age. They love Mike Royce. Follow Mike on to his next project, Little Brother. Follow Ray onto his next project, whatever that may be. Scott Bakula. Andre Brower's been great on Law & Order SVU this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Follow these guys to their next things.
It would be nice. I hope you...
That's the best consolation, I think.
Yes. And while my new show, hopefully, if it becomes a new show, is 100% different than Men of a Certain Age, hopefully people will enjoy it as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the key is... The show may have passed, but you guys are alive.
I feel like you should be drinking scotch or
that's
something right
key.
Now.
What's going that's on? The yeah. key.
You got your health, all right?
All right. You know, I hate when people ask me questions I don't have the damn answer to.
That's why they're asking, though.
Yeah, I don't have. Someone just asked me for the password to something. Like, no.
Password to what?
I don't even have
to
one.
To beat the second bald bull
yeah,
on Punch-Out.
It's a Game Genie
up,
password.
Yeah, it's a up, down, left, right, A, B, A, B.
Oh, Mike doesn't have time for Game Genie jokes.
I don't even know what Game Genie is.
I know.
Is,
you
to
were too busy in the 90s.
I know what plenty of frivolous shit is, but Game Genie escapes me.
So yeah, you got little brother, and then depending on what happens, you may go to a different show. Is there another show on Fox that you would be fine with working on? Is there one you have off the top of your head?
That's, well, there's only
New
few,
Girl.
Yeah, the Fantastic.
Raising Hope.
Fantastic.
Okay. So you're
no, they're both great shows.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So you're a big fan of what Fox is doing over there.
I am, yeah. I mean, the tough thing about Fox is they only have programming from 8 to 10.
Right.
And they have American Idol from 8
Reality,
to 10.
Reality, yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough not to crack schedule-wise. There's not a lot of room there.
Are they going to open up another night for comedy? Do you know?
I do not know. I am hoping.
That's been the rumor.
Clinging to every rumor. I've heard all the same rumors. They're going to open up a night.
Yeah.
That'd be
great.
Yeah.
That'd
no one
great.
Knows anything for sure. I mean, I think it depends on how the pilots turn out and if they feel strongly about them. I would imagine.
I don't know. I just feel like Stamos, Royce, I don't think it could go
yeah,
wrong.
I think you're right about the first one.
No, I mean, let's be
when
honest.
When the world hears it.
But you are going to get a reputation for taking these guys that are known for doing certain things and turning it on their head. I mean, you may have done it completely on accident.
I agree with that last word.
Yeah.
No, John, I mean, listen, John Stamos is, he's, I think this is an interesting thing for him to be doing because he is doing something a little bit different,
yeah.
But it's not like you're not going to not recognize, you know.
No, but I think you recognize good acting talent instead of just
yeah.
cliche or the stereotype of what a person is.
Yeah.
Of who a person is. I think you recognize the acting talent.
And he's in an interesting situation on the show because you always see him as sort of a woman. He plays
yeah.
a lot of womanizing charismatic,
yeah.
you know, single guys. And here he's a married guy with a family, kind of who used to be that guy a little bit, and now he's a little
yeah.
bit more settled down, and it's just an interesting twist on, you know, a guy you still see plenty of when he smiles. Listen, I'm a, you know, heterosexual man, but I melt. It's an amazing smile.
No, I melt for Stamos. I do.
But
I'm a big fan.
That's a good
so all
bumper
that
sticker.
Still there, but it's just a new twist as a situation for him that I think is I really like what he's doing.
Well, I'll
there
sum,
you go, John.
I'll sum this up for you.
Your bumper sticker is going to say, I melt for Stamos.
I do melt,
I melt
for
Stamos.
Stamos. Yeah.
I think we can get that going.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. I will say this. I want to sum it up with this. One, Mike, thank you for coming in and doing the show.
I appreciate
it. I know I had to drag you out of the house and whatever else.
You know, I should be drugged out of the house more often.
Well, you're just
deep
being
in the middle
nice.
Of a lot of stuff.
You're just being nice. There's a voodoo doll at your house of a fat guy with needles.
Well, now I didn't know what you looked like, but now there will be.
Yeah.
You know, here's the funny thing, though. Let me bring this up before.
Wow.
I email Mike all the time, blah, blah, blah. And Mike goes to me, where you do the show from? I'm like, thanks for following, Mike.
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Well,
thanks for following, Royce.
I'm sorry. I make no bones about it. I
no,
barely
no bones
know
about
what's
it.
Happening.
The man is making a show, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so am I.
He's got all right.
I know enough about his show he's making.
Touche.
He's got nothing on that.
Touche.
That's okay. I'm happy that you bullshit me with
here's,
your
here
kindness.
Will be your nightmare. When my show doesn't get picked up and then I call you every week. Can I come on again and talk about how
yeah,
I'm doing
right,
nothing?
Right, right.
Yes.
Can I
yes. Strangest thing happened to me. I was
hoping you were going to do that when you were doing nothing.
Yeah. I never was. That
for
was
that
the problem.
One week.
I
that
know.
Week,
I thought I was
going to
be.
Days.
This thing is taking forever. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know what? You did get really. Life came along and at least gave you something great. I
yeah.
mean, as soon as Men of a Certain Age, then Fox, boom.
It's always good to be busy.
Yeah.
Even though I was in mourning and still am in mourning, it's better to be in mourning while you're doing something else.
Okay, but truth being, I'm very grateful you came on.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of your work.
Well,
you know I love you, man. You're the best.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Little brother, I hope for the best. I'd love to see it. And, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This was
thank you, Mike.
And I hope you do it again, and hopefully a little less
I'll be
than
back
12
next week.
Months. Okay, yeah. Very good. Very good. And once again, go to citizen.org for the Public Citizen Stand Up for Main Street. Steve Scroven's put together this great event.
You're never going
to
see a show this good, all of those same people at the same time. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
All these men of a certain age, people in L.A. that want to give Mike Royce money, just give this organization money and Mike will be fine.
That's right. Fine.
He'll be happy.
Or just drop your bundles of $30 million off at my curb.
Feel free. Yeah, back up the trucks to Mike's house. Yeah. But, go to citizen.org. And if you're in town and you can go to the event and you just don't want to donate, buy a ticket. They're going fast, though. But buy a ticket. Ray Romano, Wendy Liebman, Mark Maron, Rick Overton, Eric Rivera, Morgan Murphy,
Dana Gould,
who I don't want to slip on Dana Gould. Just a great event. So come out Sunday. I'll be there. I'll be wearing my finest Tommy Bahama.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I will be. No, I'm not going to tackle Roy. Okay, and let me clear up. Not that Ray will ever hear this because he doesn't have the internet.
He won't hear it.
But for everyone out there that now thinks I may kill Ray Romano, yes. I'm not going to kill Ray Romano. I just want Ray to do my effing
show. I just want
a
little hair sample.
There's no more reassuring words than,
look,
I'm not going to kill you.
I'm not going to kill you.
I am friends with a lot of golfers out here, and I know that mother effer is golfing every day. And you can't come do my show for one stinking hour.
Okay.
I still love you, Romano.
Love you.
I love you. I love you. I'm just busting his balls. I really love Ray's work. I love Raymond. I love Eulogy. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah. Great. Great.
And Men of a Certain Age, which, of course, great show. Thank you, Mike Royce, so much.
Thank you.
Best of luck in the coming weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you for teaching our listeners something about pilot season.
Yes.
They were on the edge of their seats.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a weird thing. Our listeners probably were.
Yeah, right.
You know that Chris Hardwick calls his place the Nerdist? I bet my fans are so much nerdier than his, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I'm terrified of our fans.
It's not even close. Well, except Ken Holland.
Except Ken, yeah.
Greatest fan ever. greatest friend ever. I love you, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So thank you very much to Mike Royce. Hopefully you can catch Little Brother this fall on Fox. And, of course, once again, Public Citizen, come on out this Sunday, citizen.org. Steve Scroven, shout out. Thank you for sending us funny little messages today.
Yes.
I love you, buddy.
Go
thank
back
you.
To sleep, Steve.
he's getting the early bird special. All right. Thank you very much. And we will talk to you guys later this week. All right.